Welcome to the Jamoti Podcast. We are all surrounded by amazing coaches and leaders. So let's get an inside look at not just what they do, but how they do what they do. After all, becoming the best versions of ourselves is Jamoti, just a matter of doing it. Coaches, the Jamoti Podcast is powered by Shoot 360. The future of basketball has arrived in Dallas-Fort Worth. Shoot 360 combines the latest sports technology with the fundamentals of basketball skill development. The result is a one-of-a-kind video game-like basketball program designed to improve your shooting, dribbling, and passing. Visit shoot360dfw.com to learn more and register for your free one-hour workout evaluation. Shoot 360, the future of basketball is here. I already talked a little bit about some of the organizational habits that you have, but I think guys that have coached for 35-plus years and been really successful and are great leaders, they have some daily habits that I think we can all learn from. And so I'd love to hear from you. Just what are the daily habits that set you up for success?
I think first, you just got to be curious. You've got to always want to find something new out. I think you've got to explore things that are going to be good for you and your program. You've got to look at things maybe that you are not sure about, maybe you don't like, but you got to convince yourself that, yeah, that's something I would never do with a team. It's a style I wouldn't play. But unless you understand it, I think you just can't like throw anything away too quick. So I think every day, just growing up, ready to learn, ready to try to get better at our craft. I think part of your daily ritual needs to be, is there somebody you can help? Is there something you can do for not only your players, but for other coaches? You know, I've just been so lucky to have people share things with me. And again, I think a lot of that was just because I get, you know, having Coach Walter hire me at such a young age. And a lot of people don't understand, you know, just how great having a mentor like he, and there's other great mentors out there, but to have somebody be able to help you grow, then at some point you've got to understand that you've got to try to give some of that back as well. And then I think you just try to make your day like checking in with relationships, reading something. I can do much better at probably more of a healthy lifestyle, like more exercise. You know, those are things that are that I need to be better at. So I think you have some flawed systems too. I think sometimes you work hard at what's important to you, and then you forget that there's other things that should be very important to you. And then obviously try to connect with family every day. I'm fortunate. My wife and Julie and I have 4 great kids. I've got 2 grandkids.
Nice.
It's funny how that starts to dominate in your world too. And, you know, checking in with grandkids almost daily, you know, things like that, checking in with my guys, as much as possible. D3, we have like 27 guys on our roster. And, so it's hard. It's hard, to try to be around them as much as you'd like to. And, but I think just being curious, Matt, I think just, trying to learn something every day, trying to know more about something. I get kind of on those tangents too. And I've got an assistant coach, Steve Otteson, who was a 40-year high school coach, never was an assistant, was always a head coach. He got out of it about the same time that I took a head job here at Cornell. And so I convinced him to coach with us. And he's been great for me over the years. But he's like, all you do is basketball. So he encouraged me to, and he loves to golf. He knew I loved to golf. I just wasn't doing it.
Yeah.
So first thing, I went out and bought new clubs. He and I started playing all the time. And my son, Zach, is my assistant coach, and he loves golf as well. So I think a balance too. I think I'm in the best spot I've been in years because I'm allowing myself to have some other hobbies. And a lot of times I was so wired to my season that I didn't allow myself to maybe go out and have more fellowship like that with people I like to spend time with. And so I get on something too. So I do a lot of golf studying too. You'd think my game would get better as much as I do. But I think that's been a good kind of an outlet, if that makes sense.
Yep.
But that's kind of my days, just, you know, trying to give something each day to somebody, just trying to pass something on. I think that's an important part too. And to be a mentor to as many people as you can, I think that's helped me be a better coach as well.
I think a lot of people believe that the coach's life, there's just so much time that we have to do so many things. And all we do is basketball or X's and O's, but you just named a bunch of things, 27 players that you have to, that you're responsible for, your assistant coaches, and then your family. And then when you get to your point where those kids and grandkids, I mean, golly, the time just really goes. And so one, keeping that balance is really important. But again, that's why organization is so huge. Because if you're not running your day is going to run you pretty quick. And then there's going to be slippage where, again, I think I get to maybe hit some of those relationship parts, but I don't set the time aside to be organized and to have these folders and systems like you have. But now I appreciate you sharing that.
No, and that's good. And, you know, as organized as I try to be, there'd be some people, my wife would say, I'm not very organized in some things.
Well, you're just in the things that she cares about.
Yeah. And so it's kind of the things that really pique your interest that you've got a burning desire for. I probably pay more attention to. And sometimes household chores don't always line up with that. So I got to make time. That's a little bit more time blocking on that. And it's you talk about being busy, and we are super busy right now. Like the NCAA finally is kind of let up a little bit on us D3 dudes, where we have 8 practices now that we can use. And so I think it's smart. You can kind of catch up on your young kids. You can let them know they're not living in a college vacuum by themselves. Like whatever they're feeling, missing home, so is the other 5 freshmen on the team or the other 7 freshmen, whatever. So it gets you a little bit more chance to get the pulse of your guys, not so much basketball wise, just how's school going. You know, I know you're homesick. We have finals today, and then we have block break for 5 days. So get home, go see some people, because then, you know, we've used a couple of those practices. We're finally getting to have our hands on them a little bit earlier, which I think is really good. And not, you know, the basketball part of it, you know, absolutely is important. But I think just seeing them more regularly, more in a schedule, you can tell, like, you know, is something going on or whatever. And I think it just helps transition into their first year of college. And it's no different than when you send your own kids to school. I mean, your own daughters or sons go to college. You always want them to be involved and to stay busy and kind of find their own way. But I know the one thing we talk about, like getting ready now for practice, and you got to be your own. You take for people, but I still got to make a practice plan and a system that fits our guys and fits me. And like a big contrast, I would guess, would be like Coach Showalter always, and that name keeps coming up. That's how important he is to everything I do. But he always had his practices planned for weeks ahead to the minute. Well, there is no, that's not me. we work on daily practice schedules because I never quite know which direction we need to go.
Yep.
And if I'm too disciplined, too far out on that, I feel like we just are doing drills to drill. And so I'm a little bit more like day to day, like, what do we really need to get better at today? You know, but people can be successful how you plan your practices. Cause obviously that's two contrasting styles there. And he's a Hall of Fame coach and 62-0 for USA basketball, 10 world titles. So,
it's hard to say that it's hard to say he's doing it wrong. And that's not what you're saying. But you're saying that you got to have that self-awareness, know who you are. I do always feel like there's a struggle between discipline and feel on the coaching side. Disciplined with the plan that you have, sticking to those times, but then in the moment, the feel of we need to stay in this area a little bit more, go a little bit deeper. You know what? Hey, we got that. Let's jump out. Let's go to something. Or the feel of, this is what we did yesterday. Today, we need to hit that again. I would say I'm personally more on your side, but the problem I go maybe even sometimes to with feel is not being as disciplined or as organized as I need to. The danger with that, in my opinion, is you can waste time. You can talk too much.
You know, we always, it's kind of a Snow Valley, camp culture that we all live in. And those camps are unbelievable.
My goal is to work one. I've talked with Coach Showalter and summer. Yep.
We'd love to have you. And we always try to tell, especially the first time clinicians, and we get some great coaches. I mean, we got anybody from NBA guys to former NBA, former college, great high school Hall of Famers, to up and coming high school coach. I mean, middle school, we've got such a, 1,500 kids, four camps, that's about 300 coaches. And just, we always try to say, teach in sound bites.
Yeah.
Don't talk too much. And Coach Showalter just did his presentation, first part of it in Cleveland, was the 10 mistakes that he thinks high school coaches make. And one of them was like overcoaching.
Mm.
One of them, it was some stuff like that. Like, don't overcoach. Don't talk too much. And he also says the players really don't care how smart you are. I mean, they just want to know that you've thought a system out that's going to work for them. And I think that them knowing that you care for them probably is more impressive to them than how smart you are. And
that's good.
You don't need to use practice as a sounding board to show how smart you are. I think you've got to be organized with that. No, I think that's just some good advice for sure.
No doubt. And part of that coaching and sound bites, or I have on my board coaching tweets, the idea of something small and compact, or what is it called now? Coaching X's? What do we?
I'm still Twitter guy.
We're still saying Twitter. Yeah.
I cannot change. So I still call it.
I'm not going to send an X. I'm going to send a tweet.
I'm reading tweets.
But part of that it not only does it keep us from trying to sound smarter than we really are, but repeating information that we've already said. And I've found myself in my longer talks with players, if I really go back and think about, I said the same thing multiple times in a 30 to 40 second little range right there, where all I needed to do was say it once and then trust them to take that information and go play or put it into practice. That idea of coaching and sound bites really helps, I think, me, and I literally just did it, of saying the same thing again.
I think I catch myself too. And I think you get all sorts of like basketball immersion will talk a lot about like how to structure your practices and great resources. I think Chris Oliver does a wonderful job. There's other things out there too. I don't want to shortchange. There's other great influencers on practice habits and such, like do this, do that. But I think at the end of the day, it's still got to be you. Now, I think my practices look like me. They look like my personality. They look like what I emphasize. And we don't complicate it. I think our practices are always open. So we try to get as many high school coaches, middle school coaches, whoever. I just ran into a tremendous basketball, was a girls player in Iowa, one of the best, went on to a Big Ten school, and just ran into her at Coach Show's book. We had there's a book signing in Iowa City.
Can't wait to order that. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's an awesome book. And she's a girls high school coach here in Iowa, but she thinks like we all think. She explores, she goes down the same rabbit holes we do with the same sort of different people to follow or to try to find some information. And so I invited her to our next practice, and she'll be there, and she's awesome. And I just remembered her as being this high school player that was really good at kind of a competing high school of ours, and what a wonderful person she is. And so I think if she comes to the practice, she's going to think that practice kind of fits, like, well, now that I know Coach Laba, that it's not like staged. It's not, you know, I'm the king of going overtime if I need to. I try not to make the practice time go over. But my coaches sometimes look at me like, oh, I guess we're not getting to that today.
Cut that out. Cut that part off.
And I don't know, man, if that's right or wrong. But if I'm 10 minutes into something and I think we're 3 minutes away from mastering it or being better at it, why put it to bed and then try to bring it back up the next day, just get that same sort of learning momentum back? Or sometimes it's just like I'm 6 minutes into something and it's just like, I don't lie. I'm a tinker, kind of a tinker guy, that I put something in. It all looks good on paper, but it's got to make sense to me on the spacing on the floor. I think whatever this offense is, at some point I've got to see it with live bodies, with real space.
Yeah.
Because that dot on a white sheet of paper doesn't show a big 6'7" person long guy guarding it either. So it's all that spacing's got to make sense. And so I might really like some, and my guys will know it, and I'll say, hey, I just saw this last night at 1 o'clock in the morning watching a EuroLeague game, and I like it. I think it'd be good for us. But I don't know.
That's great. Yeah.
So we'll try it. We also do some things at practice. I feel like I'm kind of jumping around here a little bit.
I love it.
We've got like a portable projector. Those aren't very expensive anymore either. We can pull a deal down like a screen, and we've got those lights you can turn on and off. They don't have to heat up, cool down, which is nice. And if we're something that we want to put in, we might just like shut the lights off, turn that thing on, watch 45 seconds of clips. And again, it could be a European team that we're going to try to pull some things out of a set. And then we go out and work on a little bit, come back, look at it. And the same way with scouts, like this is something they're doing. And we might not do like a 45 minute scout. We might do one every 20 minutes. We might spread four of them out over 2 hours. But we always go over, turn the lights off, watch it on screen. That's why I think having our playbook with Lucio now being more of a digital playbook, I'm kind of like the guys. I think I learn better just by seeing visual.
Yeah.
But I know young people definitely do. You know, it's a world of media, and just having it right in front of you. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. Because I remember some of the toughest kids I ever coached were back at Mid Prairie High School, and that we had binders and, you know, we flipped in handwritten stuff, and they got it. I just don't know if they do as well at that anymore. So we do a lot of that kind of stuff too.
Coach, I'm going to encourage you. I think you're right on the money with what you're doing. But to your point, it's not right or wrong. It's obviously it's knowing who you are. I love the idea of using that technology throughout practice, because different from when I played in the late 90s, early 2000s, it was more hear it and do it. But we know now, especially, there are those three types of learners. Some hear it, some do it, but some need to see it. And I think within a practice, if you can incorporate all three of those, and part of that is bring it in the film. I think what gets them more excited than anything else is when technology is involved in something. And so for us to be able to bring that in like you're doing is great. I love the nugget that you said about I'm the king of going over time. But because when I first heard that, I kind of paused. Being a high school coach, having a mandate from, you know, my AD, but then also understanding that, like, our players need to know when practice is going to end, and they need to be let out at that time, not just for their parents, but for their own sanity and for the long season. But then you made the distinction of, I will go over in a drill as long as it takes. That's why I feel like coaching is a little bit more art than it really is science. The science part may be figuring out the time sheet that you have and how to weave through a practice plan. But the art of it is that feel of when we need to stick, when we need to go. They got it. Let's stay and let's get deeper. And I feel like that's a struggle for most coaches, is riding that fine line between, I want to keep moving, we have things we got to put in, but we need to stay.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And every now and then, that's one thing about, you know, I don't have 8 cars pulled up in a circle in front of the school with moms waiting to pick kids up, you know. So, if we're supposed to get done at 6:45 and we go to 7, that does happen.
Obviously different, but I was just making a point
But I try to stay within that constraint of like that, whatever it is. And it shortens as the year goes on, obviously. Yeah. But it's my coaches do poke fun at me that, like, oh, I guess we're not getting to that today. Well, no, we're not.
Thank you for checking out today's episode. Please take a moment to subscribe to this podcast, share it with your fellow coaches, and find us on social media for what's coming up next on the Jamoti Podcast. It's just a matter of doing it.